Good afternoon, Muskegon. This is Tony Williams.
Good afternoon, and this is Chauncey Williams, where this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success.
All right, here. Man, it's been a while since we had an opportunity to hook up again in the studio, but it's good to see you. Good to be here.
Yes, good to be here, man. Good blessings. I was just telling you when I saw you, I say, this is therapy for me, being able to help people, reaching out to people. I had one of my mentors tell me, Miss Ivy Jones said, three things you got to do, Chauncey, live, love, and laugh.
Oh. So
I know that when I get to hang out with you, Tony, I'm laughing and I'm living life and I'm learning to love people through this. And she said something else. She said, make sure you are helping other people, but in a way where you're getting to deeper heights. I was like, that's an oxymoron.
Okay.
Deeper heights. She's like, look at the knowledge of yourself, share it with others, and take people to a new level. So I just love Miss Ivy Jones. I'm going to give her a shout out. She calls me periodically and checks me out.
Good.
And checks on me. So I praise the Lord for her.
Good, good. I'd like to also give you a shout out for helping some folks in my family take care of some issues that they were dealing with. And they were extremely happy with the results of the program.
All right. Thank you, man. Thank you. Anytime, man. It's a pleasure being able to lend a hand with somebody. They got everything.
Yeah, right. Sometimes you need to ask for help.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Nope, not at all. So you're, unfortunately, your basketball season is over, so now you're going to concentrate on your business for the next few months.
Yes, I am. I'm going to concentrate on my business, but I'm going to be around that gym still because that's my passion. It's something I love, so I'm going to be around, but we're done. But it's our first year coaching, and it was a beautiful situation. Muskegon, the athletic director, welcomed us in. The whole community welcomed us in. The kids accepted us to come in with new offense, new coaches, a whole new mentality. That had to be rough on those kids and the community. So they accepted us, and a lot of people still was praising us even after our loss yesterday. One of my students told me today, she said, "So you lost the game, but you won a community."
Absolutely. She's like, absolutely right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I watched the attendance at the girls' games, and there's definitely been an increase and participation among the community, and I think that is a result of the product that's on the court as well as the guys that are on the sidelines putting it all together. So my hat is off to you guys for doing a great job, and you can't win them all, but yet I think you guys have set the foundation for a good future for the Lady Reds of Muskegon basketball.
Yeah, I want to come in Rodney Walker on that. The kids in the community love it. You know, I work at the elementary level, so they always approach me and say, "I'm going to be at the game tonight. I'm coming and so supportive, asking about what we're going to be doing in the summertime and the camps and stuff. So,
yeah, it's a process. It's a process, Chauncey. You know, overnight success doesn't happen. It's hard work, dedication, and commitment among the staff, the players, community. And I think you guys are, like I say, off to a great, great start. And nothing but good things will come in the future.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Neil. I appreciate that, brother. Coming from you, it's a lot. It says a lot.
So what's on our agenda today? What are we going to talk about today?
Oh, man, my spirit just been telling me and I've been talking to clients here there through through our credit restoration program, and people just been trying to, like, buy cars, and I had several clients call me or inbox me and say, "I want to buy a car, Chauncey, but I got a bankruptcy."
Mm-hmm.
Or they want to lease a vehicle. So I was just, like, looking through my library and going through my life and the history that I had. I said, I got some things. So I say, and I called you up, and I was like, well, how to buy a car, or lease a car after bankruptcy. That was going to be our topic today. I know that you said you had some homework you did, and we're here today. Let's see how we can help our community out. And I think this one's going to be worth their while. It's going to be some tidbits and tips that they can use to do that, to go further after that. Because a lot of people think that once they had a bankruptcy, they think that things are over.
Yeah, right. That's been the belief for years. It's like a death sentence.
Yep.
You know, you're not dead. You might be dead. It just hasn't buried you yet.
It hasn't buried you yet.
So, but through, you know, legislation and education, people have understood what the purpose of bankruptcy is. And like you had mentioned on previous shows, it all depends on that financial situation that drove you to bankruptcy, such as the medical bills, loss of a job,
yep,
or possible divorce, those kinds of things. But you have to do your due diligence.
That's right.
In making sure that this is what you want to go through, and this is basically your last resort of getting your financial business in order.
Exactly right. I'm looking at the presidential candidate, Donald Trump.
Okay.
I don't even want to mention his name no more.
The clown.
Yep, the clown. But he went bankrupt several times. That's what he did. And that's how he used it to build his wealth. So I don't even want to mention his name no more.
And, you know, I mentioned it too in other shows that for him to file bankruptcy is different than the average Joe. Okay, because there's so many other things that he has leverage and exposure to from financial services than the guy that lost his job in the factory, who's just, you know, not even on the radar. So, you know, he was able to do it, and others have done it as well in those high-profile positions. But we can't, you know, we can't use the same course of action as they have. So we have to basically go by the law, go by the rules, in hopes of getting back on firm financial footing.
Exactly right. just thinking about that, hey, I'm a common man. I've been through those situations, and it was over 10 years ago. But at the same time, you got to think about, it's about sharing what your experience is so people can know that, hey, how is this person in front of the microphone every week? Why am I listening to him? What does he know, or what has he been through? So we're here to share that today and just get him some tidbits on how to build that. So I got some of those things.
All righty. Well, let's open this up to what do you got? What you got?
I'm going
to
share a background story at first. Okay. I remember going through a similar situation myself back in 2004 during the mortgage crisis. I was putting some things with some burdens where I lost a job, properties I had, and just everything just went bad, fizzled out, Tony. And just looking back at it and having talking to people on the phone now, it's mm-hmm. my business. And it seems like history repeats itself where I tell the same story to everyone. And like it becomes a strong testimony for me. And when I heard those clients a couple weeks ago just kept on calling me and say, I want to buy a car, but I got a bankruptcy. I want to do this, I got a bankruptcy. So I had to sit down and share with them and say, we have to enter some of our programs. And going back to myself, I'm thinking about what I went through. First stage was I wanted to buy a new vehicle, but I had that on my credit history almost 10 years ago. So the first thing I did, but I still was working in the credit restoration program.
Okay.
So I was still affiliated. So I ended up, after I got my discharge papers, I ended up calling my company, connecting with them, going through the process, and they were able to remove everything that was on my discharge, but they left the item in a court that said bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. So everything that was on it, on the whole file, was taken off because it was discharged.
Right.
Those debts were out of there. So I had to retain the paperwork, but my credit history, I didn't have no credit.
Okay.
At all.
Which in this day and age is probably not as good as having no credit.
It's a bad thing, but if you don't have no knowledge, it's a bad thing.
Okay.
See, I was equipped with knowledge. So I knew to go get a secure credit card, figure out how can I get refinancing for a vehicle having that negative image on my profile.
Gotcha.
So I had that negative image on my credit report. So I'm like, what do I do? So at the time, I'm living in Detroit, major city. We ended up moving, getting ready to move back here. And my wife was driving a Charger at the time. She had financed a Charger. And I'm sitting around thinking like, okay, I'm going to build my credit again, but I don't want to hold a car for a long time. So I ended up doing some research, some homework. I said, I need to hit a major market. I need to figure out what dealerships, what do they specialize in? Do they specialize in trucks?
Mm-hmm.
Do they specialize in leases? Do they specialize in sedans? What's their specialty? Is it leases? What kind of finances they do? Is it mom and pop shops? So I come to my terms. I found out, I said, I need to approach a major company.
Mm-hmm.
So I approached a major company. At the time, it was Daimler Chrysler. And I was looking for vehicles, and I ended up getting a Dodge Magnum. That's what I ended up getting. And I had leased this Magnum.
Okay.
So when I went in, at the time, I think I had a secured credit card, and I had my student loans on my credit report. And when I had the bankruptcy, I was able to put them in a forbearance. So I put them in a forbearance, and I did that. I didn't have to pay on them. So that's all I had on my credit report. So I go around, and I end up getting with the same person that financed my wife for her vehicle, because her credit is still amazing to this day. So I had to rebuild mine to
where it's
at today. So my credit is better, but hers is always just the best, because she didn't have to go into the situation I went into. So I ended up talking to this guy. He ended up setting me down, and he went over the procedures on how the banks work and how their company worked. And he told me, he said, well, when you're in a major market like a Chicago or Detroit or bigger area, or if you find a loan, a company, a dealership that specializes in certain loans, they package them in certain ways. So it might be a company that say, okay, they deal with one bank. If you get approved for the dealership financing, we're talking about the major company like a Ford, a Daimler Chrysler. If you get approved for that financing, what they do is they package so many loans. If they do a great job, say if they have 100 loans that they turn into a company a month, and 10 of those loans, I don't want to say they're bad, but they're marginal.
Questionable. Yeah.
They're marginal credit. Now, if this person is able to sit in front of this person and produce either a positive history of some kind, they'll work with them. So I had to go through a process, and I brought that in today on what I went through as a person, because it's, I just feel like it's important to share with the audience that I've been through what people are trying to get out of.
Okay.
You know, and just being able to go through that and just sharing that knowledge. So just saying, how do I go about doing that, Chauncey? You was able to buy a vehicle. I actually leased it because I said, okay, if I keep it for 2-3 years, I'll be able to, for one, show a positive history with a major bank, with a major company that my wife was holding the car from. So she already had a relationship with them with positive credit. Gotcha. So I was able to go in. I didn't have to co-sign on her credit. Some people think that, like, do I need a co-sign? Nope, I didn't have to do none of that at all. So I just want to go through that process and some things I did. And just, I know you say you called someone also, Tony, so yeah. I want you can interject where you feel, but I just want to go through the process of what had happened for me and what I did. First thing I did, I called the dealership, and I requested to speak to the new car lease manager. That's the first thing I did. And it was the same guy that sold my wife her car. Asked whether you can finance someone after bankruptcy. I gave him my personal story that I lost my job, just things had happened. And it was a major mortgage meltdown. A lot of people was going through that. And at the time, I didn't really know. I was thinking it was just me.
Right, no.
You know? So I was able to share that.
7 million people were with you in that bankruptcy. Seven million.
Yeah, and now working in the student loan and credit industry, now I hear that story so many times. Yeah. So it's like God had to show me that this is the arena you're going to be in. It's like he sent me through those situations so I could be able to help people on this side of the microphone today.
Right.
So it says, ask what the down payment range would be on your deal like yours. Ask whether the financing manager will review a copy of your credit report to determine your chances of being approved or making an application. So what I did is I printed my credit report up because I know that if I had a bankruptcy, I was going to have to go several places, and I don't want those hits or inquiries on my credit report.
You want to be selective of where you go. Yes.
So he said, yeah, I'll look at that. So he was able to look at that. Make a decision whether it's worth your time to visit the dealership in person. Don't give out your Social Security number yet. Visit the best actual dealerships, not the high end, but the ones that got the company right across. Not the mom and pops, not the ones that are going to take advantage of you when you got marginal credit.
We know who they are.
I'm not going to mention their names because they're in this community right now.
We know who they are, yeah.
Because I see people posting cars on Facebook. Oh, I got this car. My blessing. You better check that blessing because my interest rate was not high, Tony.
Okay.
My interest rate was not high. I believe, and we talking about somebody that had a bankruptcy, mine was like 8. That's high, but it was 8%. At a time for a lease. That was it.
No, I got statistics say that on a $20,000 loan after bankruptcy, you can pay as much as 15% to 18% interest.
Okay. So I'm telling you, this plan I'm laying out right now is going to be able to help some people because I went through it. And the first thing that made it most important to me was entering the credit restoration program that I recommend to so many of my clients that I work with.
Okay.
So when they removed all that stuff off my credit history, the person that I sat in front with my credit report said, you got a bankruptcy, but there's nothing on your credit report, Charles. It's like, well, how do you do that? And he ended up helping me get a lot of clients, too, so I ended up helping a lot of his people. So bless the Lord for that, for me being humble enough to put that in front of him.
Okay.
You know? He's like, what? You don't have nothing on your credit report. So it says, avoid salespersons until you're introduced to one. So I have my wife saying, like, you need to go. Where I get my card, the guy was real good, you know?
I'm going to interject something right there since you hit that salesman. There are certain salesmen that will not even tell you the price of the car until they check your credit score, okay? So there's two components there, the price of the car versus what your credit interest rate's going to be. So before they get into too far involved, they're going to run a credit check even before they give you the price of the car.
Because they're trying to make a sale.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. It says develop a rapport with the lease manager. Then you ask yourself, can this person get me finance, like you just said it? Are they in there just to be looking at you like, let's pull your credit?
Oh, yeah.
But then we have to really be pay attention, audience. When you have marginal credit, what they do is they try to put you in a credit lottery. What I call a credit lottery is if you come into, I'm a salesperson, Tony, you come into my office and you want to buy a car, it's my job to sell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't care what it
That's
is.
That's how you eat.
That's how I eat. So I got to, if I put you in a seat and we got programs with marginal credit, but they high interest rate, I'm going to put you in. I call it a credit lottery. And when they put you in that credit lottery with marginal credit audience, they send you to hundreds of banks.
Oh, yeah.
That tears your credit score up. That's why I say it's good to have a pre-printed out credit report. And that's what I did.
Okay.
So you was able to look through it and go through it and see all the details. Something I did do is I told him I had it on my credit report. So I had a relationship. So avoid the bankruptcy question on the credit application first. So that's why it's good to have a credit report first to mm-hmm. see if they look at it for you. Ask the new car lease manager, what should you do? Ask what is the best to lease right now, because they have certain vehicles that they have that they're trying to move
right
off the lot. Mm-hmm. And at the time, that Dodge Magnum was something they was trying to move. And now I'm looking back at them, they're not good cars to buy.
That's why.
That was why. Because when the winter came, man, I could not move. That car would not move. I'm not trying to give Chrysler bad business, but they don't make them no more.
I wonder why.
I wonder why. So I was able to build my credit in that vehicle, Tony, but it was a terrible vehicle in the wintertime.
Okay.
And because it had rear wheel drive, and it struggled, and that was it. I was glad to be done with that lease, but it helped build my credit score.
Yeah, but you're right. It's all about an inventory.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, they're willing to take a chance.
That's right.
When they got a high inventory on a particular product, and they got people, like you say, with bruised marginal credit, and they'll rather take a chance on getting them in that car so they get that car off the lot and hope they pay for it.
Yep, they helped me. I helped them.
Right.
They gave me an 8% loan, which is not, I mean, I'm not paying 8% on my cars right now, but I'm paying much less on them because my credit is much better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm removed from that situation. But I said, what am I willing to sacrifice? So I'll pay the 8%. You gonna let me lease a vehicle, which don't happen all the time?
Right.
Build my credit score up, be out of that vehicle, and then have good credit because I leased it.
And it makes sense, though, if you do a lease, 2 to 3 year lease, because if they get tied into a loan, you know, with the loan rates of 72 months, man, that's 5-6 years. So it is it's to that individual's advantage to do the lease. So like you say, you're in the process of repairing the credit, and it's an opportunity to do it and take advantage of the lease situation.
Yep. Also, like, so after I sat down with him, a series of questions that I have that I was asked. First one was, do you have a trade-in? At the time, I ain't had no trade-in.
Okay.
I didn't have trade-in. I had four Taurus that I kept. I was like, I need to keep this car because I don't want to put no miles on the one you give me. I'm using this to build my credit.
Yeah, trade-ins you don't get. Yep. They don't beat get you on trade-ins anyway. Mm-hmm. I had a lady in my office, Chauncey, and I felt so bad for her, an elderly lady.
Mm-hmm.
Had went down to Grand Haven, got a new car. The car that she had was a relatively good car. She bought that car brand new, and the car was about 10 years old, all right? And she went and traded it in, and they gave her $500 for this car.
What kind of vehicle?
It was a Chevy Malibu 2006.
Oh, it's a good car.
And I checked about a week
later.
They're
going to sell it for $7,000.
That's what they had on the lot
$6,500.
That's what it was. And I got a call a couple of weeks later from this salesman that I called down there to question him about it. He was at a different dealership when he called me. And he said, I remember when you called down there and questioned the integrity of our dealership for doing what we did, and I didn't like what was going on. He said, that's why I left. He said, but I wanted to call you back and tell you, you know, thanks for looking out for people that you do business with.
And that's why we're here today, audience. That's why we're here today. That's a ripoff.
Yeah, took advantage of her, totally.
And that's why I try to talk to people. That's why I post stuff on Facebook and really try to help people reach out to me. That's why I'm sharing my testimony today. It's really about, like, oh, they financial experts. You become an expert because you have experience.
Yeah.
And you've been exposed to it. And that's a ripoff. That's a great car.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was hurt. I'd have gave her $500 for it, Chauncey.
Man,
I'd have gave her more than that.
That's a ripoff. To me, if you're going to sell it to me on the street, I'll give you $4,000 for that car.
Yeah.
That's a good car. Somebody, a first college student car, put on the highway.
Excellent car.
Excellent car. So I'm glad we came with that. I'm glad we're talking about this topic. The next thing is, what new credit have you established since bankruptcy? He asked me that question, and I had two secure credit cards I had. And I also had, I did one of those ones. It was at a time where you could sign on somebody else's credit and get credit.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so I did that also with one of my buddies because he worked in the real estate game. We were business partners, and we was able to do that. So I had that on there. He's like, you got a 600 something with the bankruptcy? Hey. I mean, it really got to the situation where we are friends right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me all the time. Like, Johnson, I got a client. They're looking to buy a car in a couple months. I'm going to need you to help them out. I'm going to give them your number. So that actually built a relationship that helped other people.
Okay.
And seeing me able to have that knowledge at the time. Then something else that can hinder you is if you try to go back to somewhere that you had some witness, it was in your bankruptcy. You can't go back to somewhere you've been because they're going to be like, well, you tried to get another vehicle and you had this on your bankruptcy. They're going to have record of you being in that place. So even if it's off your credit report, they're going to have record of it being there. So you got to think about where you're going.
Yeah, as a discharge, too. It'll show on their records that it was a discharge in bankruptcy.
That's right, on their records, on their financial records. Because those are promissory notes for them. It's just like they get vehicles and they sell them like a house. But in the end, they got a note. It's just a piece of paper. So they're trying to move notes. It's like stock market, like you talked a couple weeks ago. They're like, well, did we move that note to somebody else? Mm-hmm. We sell it. That's all they're trying to move. The product is there, but they're just trying to move notes, promissory notes. So if if somebody claims a bankruptcy, the discharge is there, but they still have record for it, but it's not in your credit history.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go back to that same place, they might not accept you for a lease. Have you owned or financed a car with the same financing company? If you did you have any late payments? That hurts also. What's your payment range? They'll ask you that when you have marginal credit, because they can stretch payments and stretch it over months or terms, or do something where they can configure the interest to look whether you have to have a, which I don't recommend down payments. I don't recommend that. That's money that's going in somebody's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend. If you can go without a down payment, the most amount I would say is $500. $1,000 is stretching it. And see, they try to get you during income tax time.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, I put 3 G's down. My car payment is $500. I'm like, for what? You put $3,000 down and your car, you paying $300 a month for what? Somebody's 8 years old. If it's over 5 years old, you're getting ripped off.
Okay.
So I'm animated about this, Tony. So I really feel that.
Passionate.
Yeah, because it's an experience that I've been through, and I was able to not scathe. I was able to get through with my skin on my back.
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned a situation where a lady.
Yeah, just got totally taken advantage of.
She could have gave that car to somebody else in her family.
Yeah, she could have.
Because in the end, the interest eat it up in the first couple of years anyway.
Yes.
And the principal, you be behind on the principal. If you got good credit, they're going to get some money in the beginning, so you might as well just don't do no down payment and keep your car.
Yeah. She would have been better off. And I tell all my customers, if you're in the market to sell a car, buy a car, call me before you do it. Just let me know.
Yeah. Next question was, what is your payment range? And then I mentioned that one already. Why do you need this car? I was like, my whole sole purpose was to build my credit. Because I had the Ford Taurus. I could drive that to work.
Mm-hmm.
I could be in this. I could do that. I'm good. My wife had a Charger. She had it on the lease. So she turned that in. The Ford Taurus and the Magnum was right around. So she still had good credit. And I was in the Taurus. She was driving the Magnum. People in the audience, they probably remember that car. They're like, he did have that car. They did have that. He was driving that little red Taurus. So I was doing that to build my credit. And I bought the Taurus for like $1,500 from an auction. And I ended up giving it to my nephew for a minute for a college or something. And somebody came and bought it for like $3,700. So I ended up getting double off of that.
Okay.
So I'm going to trade.
You sound like a car dealership man. Getting double.
So I'm just having a flashback right now. But I just really, several people had asked me about this topic. So I was like, and you was asking like, what should we do? It's around tax time, tax season. People getting money back. Spend your money on getting your credit together so you can be paying the lowest possible price possible if you can. Why do you file bankruptcy? And just looking at the scoring point system when you deal with major companies that finance vehicles. The first thing they say, do you own or rent? That's an important question that goes in the equation. Do you have a phone in your name? Do you have a checking or savings account? Local bank references, that's very important. How long you have bank accounts or savings accounts, or if you have any saving bonds or any investment portfolios. Time on the job, years and months is important. They want at least, we say, about 2 to 3 year history. That's what I hear most of the times.
Okay.
When you're buying homes or cars. Have you ever filed bankruptcy? Always going to ask that question for the point system. Have you reestablished credit at the bankruptcy? As you can see, that comes up in the scoring system, and it comes up when you're dealing with the dealership. They're going to look at those components. So you got to find things to balance those things out. Age balances out, time on the job, history where you live at. Those things give to your credit score. It's a configuration. Like you being older than me, you're getting credit for your age.
Oh, yes.
They give you credit for that. That's part of your equation in your credit. So it's just things to look at and be able to see and receive. Just going through several places you can probably go to. The first ones are the places I don't want you to go to. All right, I'm gonna give you a list. It's about 8 of them. Buy here, pay here car lots. Stay away. When it look like they got 19 different brands there, and they all older vehicles, don't go there. If it's a mom and pop on the corner, they have the ones where they're gonna send you to somewhere. If you got a finance, they're gonna get the big down payment, and they're gonna charge you high interest.
Yeah, and there, I was just reading the other day about a financial counselor of a nonprofit, GreenPath Debt Solutions, says that these dealers offer to sell cars with no credit check, no money down. And what they're doing is they're preying on consumers who are uneducated about the process.
Yep.
So that's what we're doing, is trying to educate you about the process. So if you see those, don't shop there. Because I stopped in one day to pay, I want to pay cash.
Yeah, so you can try to see.
I just want to see what we can deal with on a cash basis.
Yes.
Man said, we don't want your cash. You can leave now.
You want to put that chain and ball on your leg.
Yeah. He said, we don't deal in cash. I said, okay. Thank you for telling me, because I won't.
They don't get rich off cash.
Ever come back?
They get rich off. They get rich off interest.
And he was also went on to say about there are 25% of the vehicles that are sold on these buy here, pay here lots. 25% are repossessed.
Wow.
That's like every one out of every four cars they sell, they actually get back and they turn around and resell it again.
So then they gave somebody else another marginal credit here.
Yeah.
And see, a lot of people think that the first thing that they can go get is a car. Don't do that. I did it because I was like, well, I needed a vehicle because I know my wife's lease is about to end. So I said, let me build my credit in the process and stop hitting her credit up because I'm coming out of a bankruptcy and I know how to build my credit.
Right.
It was one of the toughest challenges in my life. I'm not bragging about it at all, but I learned so much and I done helped so much people, so many people afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like God gave me a purpose in it. Like, you know, I prayed to God. I was like, give me a gift to be able to help people and influence them in a way. But he had to give me a story to go along with it.
You got to have a testimony.
And I see why he did it. Okay. I'm 10 years removed from that. And I look back at it. It's almost 12 now. I look back at it. I'm like, I went through, excuse my language, I went through hell.
Okay.
I went through it. And being able to have the information and the resources and people and being able to still have them resources and people in that circle. And like, how do you know them people trying to see? Like, I went through it.
Okay.
I went through the storm, but I was in the middle of it. I was calm. When it was lurking around, I said, God gonna dig me out of it like Job. Because me and you Christians right here.
Oh, so yeah.
We gotta be real with the audience.
Okay.
We got money flashers. Tony's a good brother, a great mentor in the community. And that's what we all about, community. We are here to help you. We talking because we want to give back to you.
Some
people
knowledge.
Tell me all the time, say, Chance, you're giving away a lot of good stuff. You're okay. Like, why are you doing this? I'm like, I went through a lot of pain.
Right.
I don't want to see you go through the pain I went through, because your prayer life might not be like mine. It might not be.
And everything you can't get paid for that you do. When you've been giving the skills and the knowledge, the tools to help people, you don't have to charge them for everything that you do. Because, you know, blessings are priceless. And that's where I look at it, Chauncey.
Yep.
We do things to help people. And you never know where your blessing is coming from.
That's right. I tell people all the time, like, for the things I do, I'm like, I mean, I get compensated because I work for companies. But at the same time, it's things that I do outside of that. And people ask me, like, what do you charge? What do you charge? Even if I get them some information. Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted a letter to improve their credit because they had something, a credit card, and it was a good credit. And it was a bank that they had for like 4 or 5 years. And they wouldn't report on their credit report. And they never had late payments on it. They're like, Chauncey, not reporting my credit report. I said, oh, give me a second. Went in my library at home, emailed them. I said, all right, now fill this out, send it off.
Mm-hmm.
Nice on their credit report. They're like, man, you got that 5 years. Like, what I owe you? I like, you owe me a sandwich. You
know, okay. Right.
That was your popcorn. You see me at the game or something. You know, and that's what I'm about. You know, it's good to see that. Like, how you know that stuff? Like, I've been there. I know how it feels.
But you dedicated yourself to learning the process.
Yep.
Educated yourself with the information that's been presented to you. And now you're just a vessel and a vehicle that's giving it back to the community. But you're also imploring those people to do their research, to do their due diligence, to learn about these kinds of things. And we're just giving you some tidbits of information. There's a wealth of knowledge out there, especially on the internet.
Man, it's a wealth.
And you just can't make off-the-cuff rash decisions when it comes to money. You have to take your time and do it right.
Got to process it. The other companies were, the ones I want you to stay from, is general financing companies. It's certain banks out there that like internet banks where they try to finance vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And they charge the astronomical amount. And you might find them on Facebook. Get a new car. We put people in luxury vehicles with bad credit. I'm like, you telling me you want a Ford Mustang, a 2016, and you got a bankruptcy? You don't want that. You don't want that problem. Like you said, you're going to be one of them 25% coming back to get the loan.
Give it back.
They're going to get the car back. Another one is high interest finance companies working exclusively with car dealerships. Those are the ones when you can't get approved by the major name, the GMC, the Ford, the Diamond Chrysler, they gonna be the ones when they put it in the lottery.
Yep.
And you're not gonna win the lottery. They're gonna win the lottery with you, because you're gonna get that. I'm just inhaling that new car smell. And it's gonna wear off, and you're gonna be like, I'm still paying this much money for this car.
Yep.
And you're gonna be upside down on that loan. So stay away from them. If you can't get approved for the first original one, work on your credit some more. Next, these are the good ones though. The car dealers at advertising, creative financing. For people like myself, where I was bankrupt, they were able to help me put me in a credit situation because they wanted to move a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But they leased it to me that I had a warranty on the deal. So when it was done, I was done with it.
Right.
I was able to turn it back.
Deal.
So that was a good deal. A vehicle that didn't drive good in one time, it was timing out. The brand was, they discontinued it, but they still had a lot of them. So mm-hmm. I helped them. They helped me. That was creative financing there. Credit union financing, that's good. Going straight to your bank, that's good because you got a relationship. General leasing companies, and the most important one, if you get approved for the car manufacturing lease financing, that's the Rolls Royce of all financing. Mm-hmm. If you can get that one, they love you when you walk in.
And if you listen to the commercials when they talk about leasing, they clearly tell you that it's for the preferred customers.
That's that preferred credit score. We're talking about 744,
yeah.
800, probably 710, depending on your age. I'll give you 690. It's probably 685. Those numbers right there are preferred people where you get zero financing, 2.9, 1 point something, no payments for until next year, all that stuff. But then when they start talking real fast at the end,
right?
That's what majority of people in.
Yeah, so they fall off that.
That's quick. That's that 15-second message at the end. It's supposed to be at the front when you're trying to convince somebody at the end, real fast, you know, at the end. So this is just, these are some tidbits we just want to share with you today and just information like my brother Tony said. It's all about you. And what my mentor, my godmother, Ms. Jones told me, get a deeper understanding so you can go to new heights.
That's right.
And it just felt
so
good
work
when she shared that with me.
That's awesome. That's some good wisdom, good information she's giving you, Chauncey.
Yep. So I just want to share the last thing I have. When you get to the Rolls Royce of manufacturing, leasing, finance, if you can do what I did, here's the positive things about that, because that's where we all want to be at. Easier to qualify with previous bankruptcy. Lower down payment. Like I told you, I got into this one of these. Lower payment than a purchase, because you're going to pay like $99 a month, or if you got bankruptcy, you're going to pay a little bit more. I think I've paid like, at the time I bought a 2000, it was 2007, I think, or something, and I bought a 2000, either a 2000, it was 2008, I bought a 2007. And I paid, the lease would have been, if my credit was super good, it would have been like $129. It was, they increased it almost $100. But it was worth better than trying to buy a car with bad credit and pay somebody $500.
Right.
So I looked at it, I said, that's great. I take the 221, 225. Mm-hmm. And I loved that. That helped me out a lot. So, but I didn't have preferred credit at the time, so they worked with me. At the end of the lease term, you can either walk away, trade, purchase, or refinance it. Shorter payment term. And possibility, this one right here that I'm learning about being a business owner is 100% tax deductible. And that helped me. That 225. Okay. I claimed that all of my taxes. My accountant told me, my mentor was like, good job. He said, how you get approved for that? I showed him, he said, I'm proud of you. And that really helped me. I was able to claim them payments. Mm-hmm. And I seen a benefit in my taxes at the end of the year. So leases do work in those situations. But I had another car to drive at the time.
Yeah.
So I didn't put a lot of miles in the
mileage
vehicle.
Is another the only concern with a lease is the mileage. Yeah. But like you say, if you got another vehicle, then it's a perfect situation.
Yeah. So I'm removing that from that situation. And I just want to share that with the audience today, because sometimes you can talk to people and you're like, man, that really helps somebody. Like, that needed to be a show. And I'm glad I was able to consult with you and put that topic out there. I'm glad I'm able to come with you and do these things.
Yeah, we're on a roll now. We're going to get back on the schedule of new information. And we'll be giving you that information in the coming weeks and months. Yeah.
We're going to keep on continuing on this topic, credit after bankruptcy. I think that this is something worth it because people got New Year's resolutions. Let's build them up.
Let's help them.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
This is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success. 103 Beat.